listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning on Facebook, I posted some pictures of my dad and I in Rome. I've got to tell you this morning about how we found each other in Rome for that trip. It was January 4th, 2016. Seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? January 4th, 2016, it was 2 days before Epiphany, of course, January the 6th, so that would make it the 10th day of Christmas. I had been up in Assisi by myself in the Umbrian region of Italy, and Dad had just arrived with the rest of the group. They were all from Texas that afternoon. There was actually some last-minute concern and chaos that maybe Dad couldn't make the trip because Grandpa's health was really failing, and it took a bad turn for a moment. And when I got off the plane just 2 days earlier, the first message I had was Dad saying he wasn't going to make the trip. So to make a long story short, worked out, things stabilized with Grandpa, and Dad got on that plane after all. But now we had to find each other, and the city that evening, of course, was dark and foreign. And Rome is a huge place. What is it about meeting up with someone in a foreign country that is so thrilling, if you've ever had that experience of trying to find each other in a foreign land? I disembark the subway at the San Giovanni exit. That's just like three down from the main terminal in Rome. And I text my dad. I start walking around with the battery on my phone slowly, slowly dying. Only a couple of bars of reception. Getting a little bit nervous. There's this big building in front of me. It's this big rectangular building, and I can't tell if it's a church or if it's a governmental building. I don't know. It had a bunch of statues across the top of it. It's lit up, and I wander around that for a little while, actually for quite a while. Everyone else seems to know where they're going in Rome, but I was faking it. I walked all the way down one street and back, thinking I might be able to find where our lodging is for that night. I had the name of it, but of course nothing is marked out in front. I can't find anything. What is it about maps in a foreign country that don't always seem to work out for you? Finally, I get a phone call. Dan, it's Dad. Really, thanks. I love how my dad identifies himself. It's Dad. Meet me at the obelisk at the San Giovanni Piazza. Do you see it? I had wandered by that several times. I knew right where that was. I looked up obelisk on my phone just with a few bars left, just to make sure I knew what an obelisk was. But I found it. Sure enough, it's the long, pointy structure like the Washington Monument. So I make my way back to the obelisk. Dad is kind of huffing and puffing on the phone. He says, I'm coming up the hill. I'll see you in just a few minutes. So what I didn't say was this obelisk, as I recall, was in the middle of a busy roundabout. You ever seen roundabouts in Europe? Maybe you've seen pictures of the roundabout, like at the Arc de Triomphe. Cars are just screaming around in a circle. And I'm supposed to meet him at that obelisk in the center of this roundabout. Oh my goodness, I venture across Italian traffic, and I wait there for about 5 more minutes. I've been wandering around for almost an hour since getting off that train. But finally, there I was. And finally, there Dad is. I see him in his signature blue Eddie Bauer jacket that he loves to wear. He's so proud of because he got such a great deal on it. He's waving excitedly. He's darting out through the traffic toward me. You have to understand, we had been dreaming about this trip for many years and then planning it for the last year. And here we are finally together in Rome. Give each other a big hug and then look around. Here's the obelisk and cars are just... That big rectangular building, by the way. Yeah, that was San Giovanni, the great church, the first ever public church in the history of the world, in the Christian church. That was the first ever public church established. So this is a historic site. It was dedicated to the glory of God 5 years after the Edict of Milan in 318 AD. It predates the Vatican. In fact, this was actually the seat of the Pope, even still today. In a sense, the Pope's membership is at this church, not at St. Peter's. It's at this church. This is the center of everything. Although it was, interestingly, it was at the edge of the town. You could still see the old Roman wall that had once guarded the city. It was just inside the Roman wall, but it was way out on the edge of town in that day. We were, in a way, at the birthplace of the church. The public church, anyway. There were lots of underground churches before that, but this was the first public church. The church that's out of the closet, in front of the world. I had been wandering around some of the most historic and sacred territory of the early church, just clueless as to where I was. I had walked right by, not knowing, the famous holy steps that our Martin Luther, had crawled up on his knees. Then at the top, he reportedly crumples up in indulgence and goes back home to Germany to start the Protestant Reformation. I had this thought for a moment. Maybe the Protestant Reformation, the Reformation actually started in Rome, in those moments, rather than at the church door in Wittenberg. I was standing in the middle of everything, in a sense, right there in the San Giovanni Piazza. Once thinking I was lost, and then realizing I was right in the center of it all and found. You have stories like this too? Are there times where you just thought you were so lost and then realized, oh my gosh, I'm right in the middle of everything. I'm right in the center of it all. I love to tell these kinds of stories, especially a story like this on Father's Day. Since we are justified by faith, Romans says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We, sisters and brothers in Christ, have just wandered into God's grace. We practice infant baptism. We just wander into God's grace. How did I get here? Where am I? I don't really know. I'm not really sure. Just kind of wander around, even a little nervous, to be honest. But be assured, you are right in the center of it all. No, it's not safe. No one said Rome was a safe place. But safety is not the point. It has never been the point. When have characters in the Bible, when have God's people ever been called to stay safe at all costs? Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Ruth and Naomi, when have they ever been called to stay safe at all costs? Jonah, Deborah, Hannah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, the 12 apostles, Paul and Barnabas, when have they ever been called to just stay where you are? Don't go outward, whatever you do. All these stories are about being sent outward. Mother Teresa, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What about our bishop, Elizabeth Eaton? I don't think God called her to be our presiding bishop of the United States, the ELCA. Say, just make sure whatever you do, stay safe. Stay safe. Don't venture out. Bishop Andy Taylor, just stay safe. You, me, when has God ever called us to stay safe? No one ever said Rome would be a safe place. No one ever said this life in the faith is going to be safe. This life in faith is like an Italian roundabout. But finding ourselves, realizing ourselves, despite all that, in the middle of God's grace at the center, that is the point. And we've been here all along. I was right there where I needed to be all along. I just hadn't realized it yet. I just hadn't realized this grace in which we stand, as Paul says. One translation of the grace in which we stand: we find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. It's an alternate translation for our passage today. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of grace and glory, standing tall, you know that obelisk, and shouting our praise. That's the word for boast that this translator uses. That was me by the obelisk, standing tall, shouting praise. And then it gets even better. We even boast, that is, we shout our praises in our sufferings. No one said it would be safe. But suffering produces endurance. Another translation for that, passionate patience. Suffering produces passion and patience. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, one translation says. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience. Suffering produces endurance, and how that patience, in turn, forges a tempered steel of virtue, that's character, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. That's hope. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. We are never left disappointed. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God so generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. That's Eugene Peterson's brilliant work. He brings the text alive for us in new ways. He sucks the marrow out of the Greek. I'll read it again. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Look it up in your bulletin. Pull out your bulletin and look at this passage and follow along with me. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Do you see this? We know how suffering produces endurance, and how that suffering, that patience, in turn, forges tempered steel of virtue. Temperance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. In other words, patience forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. That's hope. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged or disappointed. Hope does not disappoint. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God so generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Great translation. And this is just the beginning of the trip. Dad and I proceed to share 10 days together of exploring the early church and Roman imperial sites together. It was like this pendulum swinging back and forth from all the places of power that we saw, of military dominance of Rome and emperors for maybe a day or a half a day. And then we swing back to the humble and underground subversive sites of the Christians, always at odds with the proud and self-centered powers of the day. When we find ourselves at odds with the proud and self-centered powers of our day, we are doing early church work. God's grace hurls us into dangerous places, exciting places, community-centered places, poor places, high-traffic places. And that's just the beginning. And we are going to be just fine. You would think we might feel shortchanged or disappointed about all this danger around us. But quite the contrary, Paul says. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God so generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what God does with us when we go out into dangerous places. I was so excited when Dad found me, for all kinds of reasons. It was like the culmination and the very beginning at the very same time. It's crazy how one of the most memorable moments of an unforgettable trip was the very beginning. That's a baptismal metaphor. I was going to be just fine. Standing in the center of God's grace, now the fun begins. Now our exciting travels continue, but with an undercurrent of deep and abiding peace, that peace that God gives to us. For this grace is the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!